this is...
It's Hambone! I'm still working on the new gimmick.
You didn't like Love Muffin.
I didn't like Love Muffin
Everyone else liked Love Muffin.
The consensus
was Love Muffin. Speaking of Love Muffins, look what we got!
Oh my god!
Introducing Baby Gabriel. Baby Gabriel, look at people. We were going to unbox him and realize that might actually kill him. And we decided that might not be a good thing, so we might forget him in the box.
We might forget him in the box.
But we gave birth to this little man right here.
Well not we.
We. Me and Hambone.
It's not like
it came out of Hambone's vagina. He pushed. They got on both sides of it. They went up and they just removed this little, like, oh, look at him.
And now you know why I never wear shorts on TV, folks.
Yes, 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 yes. This is the love child of me and Hambone.
Things happen. It's a modern world, guys.
Actually, my wonderful wife, Allison, gave birth to him after an intense 4.5 hours of labor.
We're talking the reigning, undisputed women's champion.
Yes, yes. This little man came
Miss
out
Allison.
Of her little vagina. It was insane.
George!
It was insane. Like, I was watching. It was just like, it was, everyone who said it's like a gore fest. It's like hostile. Times 20, except like I can't even.
I don't know if she wants you to share this on air,
I'm
George.
Not sharing. I'm not going into detail about the meat.
I don't.
Like my friend Mike Dolan one time said there was going to be meat. Like, be aware, there's probably be meat. It was like a gore fest. It was. So I just want to let you know how he came out. So we were supposed to induce. On Tuesday the 20th or 21st, whatever, into
right.
Wednesday. He was supposed to be born on the 21st or
right.
something like that. And
we were actually going to film live at the hospital.
We're going to film live Mai Tai inducing.
Off.
We had 24 hours of getting a baby out.
But then they said something about like letting me in there, not immediate family.
I had planned out.
Checkered pass.
I'd planned out this like amazing weekend. We're going to watch wrestling, Money
All
in the
weekend.
Bank. We were going to like, it was just going to be great. And then on Friday night, I'm like, hey, George, our friend Colazzo, we're like, I want to watch a horror movie. Do you have a good Korean revenge film?
Oh,
he's like, watch I Saw the Devil. I've seen it. Allison never had. I was psyched. Watch I Saw the Devil. Within the first 10 minutes, there's a jump scare. A guy pops out of the window. Blah! Allison jumps, screams. And she's like, I swear to God, if I go into labor right now, I'm going, oh.
Yes, I know, buddy. It's scary.
Oh, man. You good?
Yeah.
Anyway, jumps just like that. Freaks out. And she goes to the bathroom. 3 minutes later, bathroom again. 3 minutes later, bathroom. I'm stop watching. I'm like, I think you're in labor. You're in labor. She's like, I'm not in labor. I think you're in labor. I'm not in labor. We call the doctor. They're like, you're in labor. Please go to the hospital. We go to the hospital. She's like 6 centimeters. Her vagina is like, it's like crowning, but not. So the baby is on his way. And then for 4.5 hours, this little one started coming out the hole. And like, you know, basically.
Is this a dramatic reenactment? Is
exactly.
that what we're doing here?
It was just
first
like,
time
oh,
for everything, folks.
Gabe. Yes, 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 yes. And then bloop. And then he went sliding down like the bloody slip and slide. And it was like, dude, placenta. I didn't even know it existed. There's this thing that was like a liver that comes out too. It's nuts. It's nuts. What's up, guy?
Now you don't have to put your kids through the miracle life and health class, guys.
This is the papoose thing. I don't know much about like how it works, but like he goes in there and then he's here. And then like look, there's a baby in here. It's amazing. Like
look
at him. And he's got his WWE belt.
Oh my
god. Chrissy.
Look at
that. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
I know.
We got a Mai Tai for you. I'm just kidding. There's like a bottle. You eat that.
Yeah. I didn't make the stuff in the bottle.
Yeah.
I make the alcohol drinks, folks.
Yeah. Even though like my mom gave me a lot.
Dry.
My mom
don't
gave me
the
a
wrong idea.
My mom gave me a lot of Benadryl.
Yeah.
So.
For you or for him?
For everybody. No, for me.
Yeah.
I was a wild child. They said I had a problem with not having filters and just saying whatever comes to mind.
Nothing much has changed.
But, so this guy's awesome. We've, like, you know, he just kind of poops a lot. He sleeps a lot. He's really cute. He looks like his mom. He grunts. He does this little, like, ninnying. Yeah.
He's the rainy
You're on Mai Tai TV.
I know.
So, yeah. So let's put him in your lap. You hold him. Because
we
need to talk about what are we going to talk. All right. This thing is like.
Hey, bubby.
This thing is kind of a contraption that's like a torture device for men. It's weird.
Okay?
Over here. Oh, he is so like,
You gotta warn me first, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You're a natural.
He
just latches onto your nipples. It's amazing.
You know,
it's
the
just
reason
right
why
there.
I don't play sports, right? You don't throw balls
right,
or baby
right
at
there.
Me.
Right there. He matches you.
Excuse me, bro.
Yeah. All right, let's pass off the baby to the mom, and then we're gonna come off with the rest of the show. Yeah, I got him.
Because I'm terrified.
Head good.
Okay.
Say goodbye to everybody, Gabe. Yay, bye, guys. I can't wait to be on the next episode. Hand off.
He's once he starts talking, he'll be on the round table with us. Gotta give him like what, 18 months?
I have no idea. At some point. I think, do you want the bottle back?
No, make a new one.
Okie
dokie. Okay.
Anyway, so what are we going to talk about today, Hambone?
Well, today we're going to talk about The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, released on Netflix, GLOW.
Absolutely amazing.
Amazing. We're going to talk about Spider-Man coming out this Friday.
So psyched.
Super psyched.
We're going to talk about hardcore wrestling.
We are going to talk about hardcore
wrestling. And what it means to the children of today.
Nothing. It means nothing to the children of today.
And you're going to teach us how to make your Mai Tai.
I'm going to teach you how to make my Mai Tai. And one of the things that's special to me about this is yesterday, we filmed this a day after International Mai Tai Day. Now, I normally do not get behind any bullshit made-up holiday that, oh, today is like National Cheeseburger Day. Whatever. Mai Tai Day is important. Mai Tai is a day thing that you want to share with your friends. It's a drink you make, you share, you enjoy. Now, when we started this show, this is episode 35?
35?
We started this show, George was making the drinks and George was running everything. And then after a while, he's like, hey, Bone, wait. You were a bartender. You have to make the drink. So this is my first outing with the Mai Tai on Mai Tai TV. So what I'm going to do right now, I already have the shaker loaded up with ice. We've squeezed some fresh lime juice here. We're going to put in a full ounce. And we recently discovered the Super Fresh down the block from our house. And I will tell you, I love this supermarket. They always have the best produce. The limes are so big. So we have an ounce of that in here. We're going to do a quarter ounce each of this Latitude 29 Orgeat.
Orgeat.
Orgeat. It took me like, I don't know, 13 episodes to figure out how to say Orgeat. And the Google machine. Thanks, Google. We're going to put in a quarter ounce of simple syrup as well. Any kind of simple syrup will do. If you've got the gum syrup, that works fine as well. Now, normally we put in triple sec. However, I was fiddling around behind the bar, and I found this bottle of Contra. So I think that this is going to put it over the top. So we're going to put a little Contra in there. Half ounce of this.
What exactly is Contra?
It's an orange liqueur.
Mmm.
So it's going to have a slightly different flavor than the triple sec. That being said, it's a very high-end orange liqueur. I actually was seeing a girl who would only drink this in snifters after work. She was a teacher. She used to get smashed up. I used to have to drive her car home all the time. It was a Honda CR-V. The girl and I never fell in love, but I did fall in love with that car. I'm on my second one, folks. We're going to pop in a little bit of rum here and always use the Myers Dark. This is my favorite. I wish they sold it in full liters around here.
I thought, but they do make them in full liters.
They do make them
ones.
Full liters, but around here you can only get the 750 or the one or the handle. And the handle's a little too much. So if you have one of these in a liter size, hold on to it, refill it later. Bacardi, always a party favorite. So an ounce of dark, an ounce of light. I'm going to give it 10 good shakes.
Why 10?
You know what? I saw something on the internet that said 10 is the right amount of number. You don't want to go too heavy with it because you also, when you're shaking it in the ice, you're actually breaking down the ice a little bit. You're adding a little bit of water content to it. And the more you shake it, the more ice you're going to break up in there. We're going to strain this out in my cup.
That alone is putting me to sleep. I've had a whopping 8 hours of sleep in the last 2 weeks. I've never felt so awake in my life. You know, like the movie Martyrs, where like they try to take a person this close to death by flaying them.
Yeah.
So they can find out what the afterlife is like by keeping them alive just enough so they can see death. This is kind of like a weird twist of it, but with sleep instead of flaying.
I believe it. Well, George, here's to Gabe. May he become the Intercontinental Champ first so he stays hungry.
Very good. Oh, yeah. Is this your first drink in how long?
I had a couple drinks at Iron Maiden.
Ah, so that's a couple weeks. A
few weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so like you might become hamstrung faster than you would like to.
No, I've been just, I'm fully loaded on protein right now.
Ah!
I got a bit, just to get a base of protein. I'm loaded on protein.
So, just so you guys know, I was told that when I become a father, as my first child, I need to change my whole wardrobe. Like, I can't be like badass leather jacket, blue jeans, Hawaiian shirt
who
anymore.
Said that?
Everyone's like, you need.
Punch him in the face!
There are only two outfits. It's like dad pants, cargo shorts, and or Adidas track outfits head to toe.
Hell no.
And I'm just like, I don't know if I can do that. So I decided to take it a step further and take my dad wear, take it over the top.
God bless, because Adidas tracks outfits do not exist in this dojo.
Ah, so I found out that all my Hawaiian shirts also come with a cabana short equivalent. So I am head to toe in
would
cabana
you? Look
wear.
At that.
RJC.
You look so relaxed.
Courtesy of Tiki Swag. I'm just like, yeah. Let it all hang out.
You know, I would say if it wasn't for the fact that you've gotten 8 hours sleep in 8 days, you look comfortable.
I might just fall asleep during this show.
You might. I better keep it interesting then.
But I have spent, so luckily right when I went on paternity leave, GLOW came out. Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
GLOW came out.
I grew up watching GLOW. GLOW was on right after Saturday morning WWE wrestling. It was like on from like 12 to 1 or something on weird TNN. I don't know what weird affiliate existed over then.
Right.
All female wrestling.
Yep.
It was, it actually had more balls than WWE did.
It did. I just actually went back and rewatched a lot of it on YouTube. And it's funny because I remember in our Wonder Woman episode, you were talking about how you hate the slow motion action. But that was like a big thing of GLOW. They'd like stop it, slow it down, like when you saw the body drop or the suplex.
But that was 85,
that
so
was
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Netflix released a 10-episode show. It's based in reality, but it's all the stories are pretty much fake. I did notice that a lot of the wrestlers have similar names, like Hollywood versus Melrose.
Melrose, or, yeah.
And there was a few of the old ladies are in there. But in general, it stars Alison Brie and the blonde, whose name is escaping me right now.
Oh. Got it.
I don't know. But it is so well done. The writing is exquisite. The story is great. It's very empowering for women. I'm finding people are loving it in that regard. I also love the respect it has for pro wrestling.
There's so much respect for pro wrestling. Like, they never go to a place where they're like, oh, wrestling's fake. It's real. The action is real. The things are happening. And they're teaching you how to do the moves. You're learning them as the girls are learning them, which I thought was great.
Yeah, they supposedly there was no stunt doubles. If there were, it's very little. Yeah. They were trained by Shuffle. So I watched the documentary yesterday. It's on Netflix, and now if you finish watching GLOW on Netflix, it goes right into the documentary.
Right,
yes,
after?
Yes, it just came, it looped it in, so it's on Netflix.
Right.
But we watched it only about an hour and 15 minutes. But what was fantastic about the documentary was that, much like the TV show, these women were actors.
Right.
They came in on stage calls. They didn't come in thinking they were going to be pro wrestlers.
Right.
They thought they were going to be actresses. And they were, you know, basically trained to take bumps, and they blew up instantly. It was just... After this, they got really popular.
Which is funny because, you know, back in the Attitude Era, Vince McMahon was like, I'm recruiting athletic tens.
Yes.
These women were actually, they actually became athletes.
Yes.
And they actually did a lot more of the stunt work.
Sadly, in the future, a lot of them also became injured because they had no idea what they were doing in the ring. And that's kind of the sad, a little bit of the sad part. I didn't know Ivory from WWE was a GLOW wrestler.
I didn't know that either.
She's in the documentary, too.
Yeah.
Documentary is very good, but the TV show, it's so well done. You know what I was going to say? I didn't realize that they were originally trained by Mundo Guerrero.
So it's a family thing.
Yes. And now in the new TV show, they're trained by... Chavo Guerrero in real life. He was like the associate producer slash
awesome.
Choreographer for the wrestling stuff.
Well, you had a lot of names popping up in there. You had Johnny Mundo.
Mm-hmm.
He popped up. What's his name? Joey Ryan.
Carlito. The big guy from the
Brodus Clay.
Yeah, from the fucking Dactyls or
all
whatever.
Popped up in there.
Look, but ignoring wrestling, we love wrestling. We talk a lot about wrestling. I know not everyone here is a wrestling fan. This is a great show. I would say the next to Stranger Things, it is the best show on Netflix.
And I would 100% agree with you on this. I would say even, it's funny because I was at game night last night and Sean Dillon's like, yeah, I'm watching GLOW. I'm loving it. Now, Sean Dillon does not like wrestling. Sean Dillon doesn't like a lot of things. However, he's like, yeah, GLOW. He's like, it was great.
It was great. Top to bottom, the story works. My concern, they haven't been talking second season yet, but I do feel this is a very well-told story with a beginning, middle, and end. I don't know where you go with a second season.
I don't think they need a second season. It's a perfect, the way this, the last beat of the story, and even the thing that happens in the credits, was a perfect end of the story. It's a lot of times I do feel like a lot of shows will hit a point where like, well, it's a hit, so let's make another one. And you can't always get that lightning in a bottle back. And you can't even get even remotely the storm in your neighborhood back.
We call it the True Detective syndrome here.
El Stinko season dos.
Yeah, and even True Detectives, which I love, the story is even a little incoherent. I mean, they tried to be weird, and we thought it was cool because it was weird, but they didn't know how to tie the weird actually back into the story.
Right.
I think Fargo, which just ended with its third season, is tremendous.
And that's done for good?
No. Every season is a self-contained story like True Detectives.
Okay.
And every season has been better than the last, and even the best is better than the best. Shit. It's well worth watching. If you like all this stuff we're talking about, Stranger Things, if you love GLOW, if you like... Breaking Bad, Fargo is one of the best shows on television
today. I gotta check it out then.
While we're on the topic of television, Game of Thrones is coming back.
Can't wait. Rich Lopez, for my birthday, gave me a bottle of the Game of Thrones beer.
Really?
I'm specifically saving it for when Game of Thrones comes
I believe we have it in the fridge too. I don't know
I
if
think you have it as well.
But it might have been there for a while because, you know.
Yeah.
I love Game of Thrones. I do think it's one of the best shows ever. I think it's one of the few shows that are taking the source material, adapting it, making it better.
Yeah.
Do you think George R. R. Martin's ever going to finish Game of Thrones?
No. I don't think we live in a world where we will ever see George R. R. Martin finish Game of Thrones. I especially, you know, people, I say that and some people are like, no, he'll finish. And then I think to myself, you know, just like you said, they're taking the source material, they're making it better. And I think that once he hits that point, like, how do you finish the book? I mean, if you see it and they nail the landing on TV, how do you write anything but what the ending on TV is?
Exactly.
And I honestly think that there are a lot of people out there, and this might not be a popular opinion, and if you don't agree with me, who cares? That are going to be reading the books. They've been reading the books for a while. They're waiting for the next book, waiting for the next book. And it's gotten so far from that on the TV show that people probably aren't going to want to even read the rest of the books, even though they've invested so many hours into reading those books. You know, it's taken him forever to even come out with the next one. Has the next one even come out yet? Or they keep pushing it back?
The last book came out at the season premiere.
Okay.
They haven't released one since.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, he's getting up there in age. You know, people are wondering whether he'll even live to write. The problem is, I could see as a writer, as a creative, I would have a hard time being, like, to separate myself from, you know, he's watching the TV show because he's an executive producer, I believe.
Yeah, he's got to be watching.
How do you separate yourself from the TV show and then do better on the TV show without you being a jerk and just rewriting everything, going, yeah, hey, I wrote a better show? You know, that's got to mess with your brain a little bit.
It's one of those things where the show has become such a, like, a juggernaut on TV. And, like, everyone, it's unstoppable. People just watch it. They love it. Even people who I've met in my day-to-day life who want nothing to do with fantasy. Like, they would never even put on The Lord of the Rings if you, or even remotely look at the book if you ask them to, love Game of Thrones. It's just like The Walking Dead. A lot of people maybe didn't realize they liked the horror genre. However, they watch The Walking Dead, they're dipping their toe in the water at least. Mm. So for the casual fan, I mean, he's got more money than he needs. He's not going to probably worry about finishing the book.
So right now we're going to open up the new Marvel Collector Core box.
Sweet.
Which, again, we're not sponsored by, but we love their stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about Spider-Man, because that's this month's theme. You can open this one. I'll open up the wrestling box.
Sweet. So the box is...
I don't know which Spider-Man.
Right out of the movie.
I know nothing
about... This is the costume he's going to wear when he loses the costume. This is homemade homebrew costume, Peter Parker.
Just to be clear, I'm not a Spider-Man fan. I have absolutely... I despise the first trilogy of movies, although I did enjoy the second one. The trilogy as a whole was garbage.
Yeah.
And I am not a big Spider-Man fan to begin with.
Yeah.
And then I never watched the other one or two.
One was better than the second one. The second one, they tried to cram too much into it.
Which is the problem with the third one.
Which is the problem with the original third one. It's confusing. I really like this kid as Spider-Man. I loved him in Civil War.
Agreed.
I think he's going to be a fantastic Spider-Man. So everyone comes with a patch. This is pretty cool because it looks like an airborne patch, and it's actually a movie vulture.
Yeah, it's Vulture from the movie.
Vulture from the movie. The pin is pretty sweet too. The metal pin. Spidey, get off there. It is a little spider signal.
That's cool.
Which looks movie accurate. All right, so let's see what we got in the box. What's in the box? So you have the comic number one Spider-Man.
But that's not Spider-Man number one. That's the new whatever.
Is Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man number one variant edition.
So let's boot it again.
All right, so this I think is pretty cool. So
is it not a Funko shirt?
It's not a Funko shirt. However, it is very, very, very specific to Spider-Man. I dig it a whole lot. It is the Midtown School of Science and Technology. So this is an actual, like, for the science club in Midtown High where Spider-Man goes to school.
Cool.
So I think that's actually pretty fun. You get two little baby figures in here. Two little bobbleheads. You got Spider-Man and the Vulture.
Cool.
Oh, shit. Okay. I'm not going to show you the back because on the back they reveal what the Shocker's outfit is from the movie.
Oh, really?
You want to see it or no?
Oh, great. I'm sure. Oh, okay.
So he doesn't really look like the classic...
Isn't the Shocker, like, is he the yellow Electro?
Yellow. with the cross-hatching on his mask.
I thought he was a Captain America bad guy, but okay.
No, he's a Spider-Man bad guy. And this is the pop, which is pretty cool. It is the Spider-Man Homecoming pop with the web wings, which I think is one of my favorite things about old Spider-Man, is the web wings, which I'm so glad that they brought back for this.
So, Spider-Man Homecoming, again, Civil War, I was really excited about. You can throw that off screen so it's not sitting in the shot. Spider-Man in Civil War was amazing. I thought it was the best version of Spider-Man I've ever seen. I'm excited for the movie. You might have to let my parents babysit Gabe while we go see it.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited that he's part of the Marvel Universe again.
Yeah.
I'm hearing there's some rumblings over the week that, like, the director of, like, because I guess it's going to be a Venom movie and a Black Cat movie, and they're like, right. Well, those aren't in the Marvel Universe.
No, the rumblings went back in their direction. Yeah, they walked it back, like, no, it's all going to be in the Marvel Universe. The way that they're saying it's supposed to work out now is with all the Spider-Man spinoffs, they're supposed to be able to use characters, like maybe Hawkeye pops up, or maybe Black Widow pops up, like characters from the standard MCU in the other movies.
I have hope. Look, I want the X-Men back in the MCU too. I want it all go back to the way it was before. Look, I remember, I'm old enough where I remember when we finally like licensed off the X-Men and Spider-Man.
Yep.
We realized Sony saved Marvel. I mean, by them releasing the Spider-Man movie, that pretty much got them out of bankruptcy, followed by the X-Men movie, which also helped really knock it out of the park.
Love them or hate them, you can't dispute that fact. The licensing of those movies, as much as fans really want that back in the standard
MCU, saved them.
That saved Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So you can't hate it too much.
And look, I like some of the X-Men movies. X-Men 1 and 2 were very good. First Class, very good. Logan was fantastic. I'm hoping this gets Spider-Man, makes him excited again. I love him as a kid because I just found him to be a little too vanilla.
See, I saw Spider-Man as differently because I saw Spider-Man as a vulnerable kid who got beat up, who got superpowers, who took the responsibility of a superhero when he was a kid. And like the whole thing, like I love the way that he quips because you know he's actually nervous. He's not like, oh, I'm the Hulk, I'm unstoppable. It's like, oh, the Rhino might kill me. I'm going to make this joke because I'm genuinely uncomfortable. I love Spider-Man.
So I grew up liking X-Men. The first comic I got was X-Men 213. So I recently bought again with George Colazzo at his comic book shop. I got X-Men 213. I realized that they also, like me, were also not bullied, but there were people that were not, taken as seriously. They were looked as freaks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I went through plenty of that in high school as a punk rocker. So I did side with them. Also, I was 6 foot tall and 200 pounds as like a high school kid too, so it wasn't like that many kids would mess with me. So I kind of took towards the X-Men more than the pimply, nose geek Spider-Man type thing.
Being 6 foot 200 in high school, I feel like you missed your calling. You probably could have found a local wrestling federation.
Probably.
You could have actually been El Greco.
Yeah, if my knees were as good as they could have been. So I'm excited to see Spider-Man. I'm excited for where this could go. I love that he's in the Marvel Universe. I want to see how it goes with the Iron Man, Spider-Man buddy cop type deal.
Oh, I love that shit.
I probably will too. I'm just a little curious how that's going to go. And I want to see going forward how this works. I mean, I think they've got the Fantastic Four back now too with Sony, right? And maybe Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider's definitely back.
They got a while back when they got Punisher back.
Blade is back, but they haven't figured out what to use.
Do we really care?
Well, they're high on Blade. They're very excited about Blade. The Fantastic Four, I haven't heard about the Fantastic Four coming back yet. You know what's funny about the Fantastic Four movie?
What?
I was actually talking about this with Goldfarb today.
The first one wasn't that bad?
No, we were talking about Riverdale. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen Riverdale yet, I highly, highly recommend it. I think it just hit Netflix. It is fantastic. You could binge watch it in a day. It is so well done. It's done by a man named Roberto Agarsa-Casa. He wrote one of, and I will argue this, these finest Fantastic Four stories ever written. For I want to say it was Marvel Knights, and it was a family drama. They never used their powers. They never get into a single fight. They lost all their money in the Baxter Building, the Baxter Foundation, and they kind of had to deal with it. And at first, I was like, I kind of just want to see the thing punch stuff. I read 12 issues where the Fantastic Four did not do anything fantastic except try to survive as a family, and I was sold American. So this guy is now the showrunner. He's writing Riverdale. I cannot recommend this enough. Go check it out. So that being said, with the Fantastic Four movie, I was like, well, you know, this guy's kind of taking it in a different direction. Maybe he could pull it off. But let me tell you something about Josh Trask. He is no Roberto Agarsa-Casa.
I have no idea what that means, but okay.
Just go with it, George. It feels good.
So you saw Iron Man for the first time. Did you love it? I think we left off with that.
I saw Iron Maiden. And I was so excited about it. I cannot wait to go with you again later this month. I don't give a shit if they play the same set. I've even went on iTunes and I made a playlist of the set. It was so good. I got two words for anyone who complained that they played new songs, and that's suck it.
I don't think anybody's complaining. I think more people were afraid of that one tour from the, I think it was either the album before this or the one before that, where they played the entire album cover to cover.
Yeah.
That kind of pissed a lot of people. Have been worried that that's the approach they're going to take.
They played 6 old, 9 new, mm-hmm. and they did 2 on, 2 off, 2 on, 2 off, until the encore, which was all old tunes.
Yeah, I'm excited to go. I wish I conned that. I got a little verklempt because all my friends were there and I wasn't. But I'm going to be there in a few weeks,
right.
And I'm happy.
You were kind of a little busy, though.
Things were happening. There might have been a baby that could have been born that day. Dude, I can't stop staring at this one tattoo you have. You're like, what the hell is that? And why did you just put it right there?
Oh, that was a billion years ago. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that? Is that a bad thing? Really?
No, it's fine.
It's on you forever.
Not for long.
We can't talk. Really?
Nothing can be undone. Nothing that is done can be undone.
Can you at least tell me what it is?
Except death. We'll talk about it later.
Ah, you suck. You've got one of those. You're hiding. I talked about vaginas.
Well, that's on you, buddy. If I'm being honest, I felt like that might have been a little bit of an overshare.
So I'll tell you what I think it is, and you can tell me just if it's true or not. No, we can't talk about it.
I want to talk
about your leg.
Well, it's okay. We can talk about it offline, because you know what? If you talk about the devil, then the devil's real. Let's just keep moving. Let's keep
excited.
We
just made Hambone awkward and uncomfortable.
A little bit.
I've heard him actually, I've been told before that, so he's got this look on his face. I've been told that this is the uncomfortable Hambone face. He's turned red now. You have a tattoo to you.
Nothing that is done can be undone. It can't be undone.
Show notes, people. Mm-hmm. We are now going to unbox.
I'm excited.
The latest pro wrestling crate from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Nice.
This is the hardcore box. I will open this up.
You know what? I will tell you, Pro Wrestling Tees, I'm super excited. I was actually on the road for work, and I ended up in Virginia, and I actually was able to finally snag a Bullet Club t-shirt at Hot Topic.
Oh, yeah, because the Elite have their shirts there.
Let me tell you something. They sold out. It's the Villain Club, the Bullet Club. You have the Young Bucks. You have American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. All for sale on Hot Topic. All sold out. I happen to get one of the last ones in my size in Virginia. And I'm super excited because it's a big boost for Pro Wrestling Tees, which I like buying t-shirts from. And I will tell you, like, it's fun to go chase something. I'm almost 40. I buy most of my clothes from Hot Topic. What does that tell you about me?
So this is the hardcore box. I brought it up before because we were talking about how there's no hardcore wrestling.
Is that what I think it is?
Yeah, so this is a first aid kit. This is Sabu's first aid kit.
Oh my God, that's amazing!
Which includes such lovely things as alcohol swabs, and a Band-Aid, and more like AD lotion, and yeah, this is for you're putting in your glove compartment.
That's amazing!
I can put in the little pouchy pouch in my man papoose.
In your own papoose.
And Sabu, so I was thinking about the first time, I don't know if we talked about it before, the first time I saw ECW.
And I'm so jealous I never got to see
hardcore
it live.
Wrestling. I went to visit my friends at Rutgers. They were all going to Rutgers. And they're like, hey, let's go see an ECW show. We'd been watching ECW for years on MSG Local Access, but I'd never gone to one. So I was like 18, friends just gone to college. I'm like, let's go see ECW. They were playing at Trenton High School, which is crazy to think they were playing at a high school in Trenton. And we get there, so we go there. I go down to Rutgers, pick up my friends, we go down to Trenton.
Yeah.
We go to watch it, and it turns out to be, not only in a high school, it's a bring-your-own-weapons match.
You went to that one?
Yes.
You were actually there at that show.
Well, there was, I think, a few of them, but this was one of them. And I'm still trying to find the tape. I have no tape of this, but it was the line out the door of people with, like, chainsaws and machetes and, like, bow and arrows and just the most insane things ever.
What was the most insane thing you saw?
It was the blades, the swords, the stuff.
I
saw nobody brought guns, but the staple guns.
All right, I'm talking about like what it is like. I imagine
The chainsaw was the strangest thing.
Yeah, but the chainsaw's like a blade. Like what is like something weird?
I don't remember. There was no gun. Like there was no. I mean,
no, there could be no gun.
Yeah, but there was no gun. But I just.
But didn't they say like you can't anything goes but guns?
I think it was anything goes but guns.
So you know some throwing stars.
And that means there's people there. That means there's people there with those weapons in the crowd drinking.
Right.
So we go, it is in the, again, they put the ring in the middle of this high school gym. There's just scattered chairs everywhere that are thrown everywhere because the wrestlers are wrestling. And the craziest thing I saw was Sabu jump off the boys' basketball gym, the hoop, onto, I think, Balls Mahoney for a pin. And that was actually the craziest
thing
I've
ever seen. Like a frog splash off it?
I don't remember. I was very, it might have been an elbow. It probably wasn't very good. I didn't have chairs anymore. Chairs were everywhere. It was just the most insane scene ever. I have very little memories of this show.
God.
It was absolute madness. But that was my first ECW show, which is why I was excited to get this box. I got to WWE again because of ECW. Greg Gethard, our good friend, was watching. Every day, he'd run home from school just to watch ECW at like 4 o'clock or whenever it was on MSG. Yeah. And I fell in love with wrestling again. And it was because of ECW. So one of the cool things that we got the pin this month, you might not recognize, it's the street poles, street sign from Rettner and Swanson, which is the corner where the ECW arena is, which we just went to for House of Hardcore. Now it's some like 80.
So good.
What is it? It's got some new name. 801 Arena or...
No, they call it 2300 Arena.
Yeah, something like that. And that was amazing. But yeah, that's the actual pin from it. We've got...
Wow, an actual crate that we get in this household is crushing it.
Yes.
Consistently.
So, Pro Wrestling Crate makes their own, or Wrestle Tees, whatever, makes their own action figures, these little micro figures. They made one of Taz. Taz is like the one podcast I will listen to the day after every pay-per-view because it's on immediately and he just sheds all his opinions and it's incredible. Yeah.
Taz is one of the wrestlers I will never make fun of because feasibly I could run into him in person and he will superplex me.
Sandman, Beer Cozy.
Oh, shut up.
Blood, Sweat, and Beers. Blood, Sweat, and Beers.
Oh, that is awesome. Yep. That is so on the nose. And he's the ambassador of Extreme.
Then this month's DVD is Legends of Extreme Season 1, featuring Paul Heyman, Volume 1. I'm assuming it might be some sort of shoot interview.
Probably.
His speech from Queens, New York in 98, ECW Arena Memories, and Raven and Tommy Dreamer versus the Impact Players, Sandman Returns, Philadelphia in 99. So that's a cool one.
And if you want to talk about a pop, when we were at the 2300 Arena, Sandman, who can't wrestle anymore, he just shows up, the music hits, the entire crowd on his floor.
The craziest pop I've actually seen was when Sandman came out at the ECW reunion the first time for WWE. If you haven't seen it, you can't see it on the network because they cut out his music.
Yeah.
So what's crazy about that is you hear this generic music playing, but you still hear the crowd singing every word of Sandman, Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
So it's just surreal, but you can find it online somewhere. That entrance is about 20 minutes longer than the match, is amazing. So this month's autographs. Let's see what came. I don't know if it's one or it's two. Oh, it is two. Last month we had Gargano. And Ciampa right before they broke up. Okay, first one.
That was great, by the way.
Short Hills, New Jersey's own, Raven.
Oh, shit.
Signed.
Wearing the Neil Gaiman Sandman t-shirt.
Yes, this is such a low-res image, but that's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite factions of all time, the BWO.
Oh, shit.
Signed by Stevie Richards.
Stevie Richards.
I like Pro Wrestling Tees, Wrestle Crate. There's a couple of Wrestle Crates out now, including Loot Crate. I do like this the best because it's pretty affordable, and just for the autographs and the t-shirt alone, it's worth the price of it. And
they always have t-shirt.
That's what I'm about to show. So this is something I searched forever for. I worked at Sam Goody at the time.
Right.
And I needed to see the King of the Death match, Cactus Jack versus Terry Funk.
Wow.
And looked forever for it and finally found it. This is, I don't know if it's a replica of or what, or a tribute to, but
it's the
t-shirt from the King of the Death match in Japan at the stadium. This is pretty awesome.
That is friggin' awesome.
So that, while it's not like jam-packed with a lot of stuff, I find their boxes are really worth it, especially for the shirts.
You know what? I feel like the Pro Wrestling Tees box is all killer, no filler.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was getting Loot Crate for a while, and you know how we feel about Loot Crate. And it was a bunch of shit. And actually, I just moved, and I found like a couple Loot Crates that were just in a box that I threw in the garbage because it was all crap.
It was all crap.
It
was leftover KB Toy Store stuff.
Leftover KB Toy Store stuff. Nothing like the Sabu first aid kit. I mean, right there.
I like
the T-shirt.
I do like the Slam Crate by Loot Crate just for the T-shirt. I like all the T-shirts I got so far. But this
they're actually licensed through WWE.
Yeah. This month, however, I found out the shirt after like it leaked before I got the boss. But after I paid for it,
right?
It's the Sasha Banks just the necklace that says Boss. Which I'll probably never wear.
It's kind of terrible.
It's pretty terrible.
I get his hand beat down.
That's rough.
I wouldn't wear it.
So cool shit this week. What do you got to talk about?
Cool shit this week. The thing that I am the absolute most excited for. They are doing a 30th anniversary reunion tour of the cast of the Monster Squad. Alamo Drafthouse, which is probably one of the single best places to see a movie. If you are a person who loves movies, Alamo Drafthouse.
Have you actually been?
Yeah, plenty of times.
I had no idea.
Well, here's the thing, though. I've been just to go to regular movies because I'll be working out of town and there's an Alamo Drafthouse.
So outside of the local ones. Okay.
And the thing is, I've never been there when they started, because only recently did they start doing, come to the movie. You can get a Gremlins mug or a Rogue One glass.
Yeah.
So what they're doing for the 30th anniversary of the Monster Squad, which is, You know I love Star Wars. I mean, anyone who's watched the show knows I love Star Wars. My favorite movie of all time, the best to me ever, is the Monster Squad. So they got Andrew Gower, Ryan Lambert, and Fred Decker, who was the director. So you have Sean, Rudy, and the director doing a live appearance at the 30th anniversary of the Monster Squad on the big screen at the Alamo Draft House.
This is the one in Yonkers, right?
They're doing it all over. They're doing Yonkers, they're doing Brooklyn. Pretty much everywhere where there's an Alamo Draft House,
they're doing it.
They're doing it. However, I mean, I could go to the one in Brooklyn. I like the one in Yonkers better. So I actually got tickets for Yonkers. I put it up on Facebook. Anyone who wants to go, get tickets. I'll tell you the row that I'm in. A bunch of my friends got tickets in that row. I was going to go to Philadelphia to Wizard World to go meet the guys from the Monster Squad.
Now I can do it here for a lot less.
Now I can do it for a lot less. And I will tell you, the idea, and I love this. I love when old movies come back. Like, I want to see Ghostbusters in the theater on the big screen. Because if something you love is there, and, like, you see it all the time. Like, I've seen Ghostbusters. You've seen Ghostbusters a million times. There's something fun about seeing it with people who aren't your friends in your living room. Seeing it with strangers like you would if you saw it for the first time. The kind of energy you get in that theater, you cannot mimic at home. So the idea that I'm going to see Monster Squad on the big screen, they're going to bring me food and drinks. And I get to meet Sean and Rudy and Fred Decker, who also made Night of the Creeps. So if you haven't seen Night of the Creeps yet, that's the one you want to go check out. That's what I'm excited about this week.
The food is also amazing. The
food is really good.
It's like obviously a little on the hipster side, but you know, they're flatbreads, they're fried pickles.
Well, here's the thing. You know, you have AMC in West Orange, which is...
It's crap food.
It's crap food. Essentially, you know, AMC does a food service where you can go to the movies and you could eat and watch it in the reclining chairs, but it's Applebee's quality food. The food at the Alamo Draft House is next level. Even though it's a lot of hipster fare, it's next level.
I like it more because this is very simple, but I hate that AMC has the lights up in the front.
Oh, it's the worst.
Whereas Alamo has it under your armrest, so you have to look underneath your armrest, look at your menu, but then you don't have to see everybody is... You don't see the light staring at you while you're watching the movie.
Yeah.
That's my... I love Alamo. We've talked about a bunch now. I saw Gremlins there. Yeah. I got the mug.
I wanted to see Gremlins there. I couldn't make it out that day.
So I got just one thing to say about that, and we'll wrap up. I just wish they had the original film. Like, they do still show their... I'm almost positive that they're showing a digital press of it.
Yeah.
I do miss the old days. We could see the cigarette burns in the corner. I really wish there was still a place that did that. I thought Alamo might be the type of place that would still do it. Doesn't look like they do it. They might just not be set up for it. Yeah. I love the Brooklyn one. It also is like a giant art gallery for Mondo Prints if you go there.
And Mondo's... Are they
Their own... Their own... Same I don't know company. Whether one owns the other or the other. Right. And also Birth Movie Death, I think, is also...
It's teamwork making the dream work. All the stuff you like...
But it's making movies cool again, which is what sucks, is why I stopped going to movies.
See, I've never stopped going to movies. I am actually a stockholder and a Stubbs member for AMC Cinemas. I go to the movies all the time. I go by myself. I love going to the movies. I love the idea of the Alamo, what the Alamo's doing. If they do fun things, like the Mystery Science Theater guys have riff tracks... They do that at the...
I've never seen that. I would like to do that.
Well, when we do it again, we're going to let you know. It just has to be a fun movie to watch, because some of them are fucking turds. Even with the guys from Riff Tracks doing it, it's still a fucking turd.
Look, I get it. I love going to movies. I don't like paying money where people are talking and are being a pain in the ass during the theater. That's why I stopped going to AMC.
Yeah.
I try to go to Carousel or to Alamo. Be what it wish. Will. I do love Alamo. I'm glad you're going to that. Let me talk about my cool stuff of the week. First of all, I just want to say that, and I should never leave the price tag on the thing, but...
Almost
a faux pas. Let me see if I can, like, take this off really quickly. So there's a really cool comic book store by us called Eastside Mags. It's a, like, you'd think it's like a punk rock comic book store. Kind of is.
Well, it's owned by a punk rocker.
It's in Montclair. It's off of Church Street, I think, on South Fullerton.
South Fullerton off of Church, down the block from Raymond's.
And I talked to the guy who owned the place yesterday. They managed to get a deal where they got a limited edition version of the new Gwar comic book. Gwar is a great punk rock slash metal band from our youth that well known for their the fact that they would spill blood and guts all over, kill famous people and pour all the guts all over the crowd. Yeah. He just released a limited version of the Gwar comic book number one. He had at the shop.
Oh, that's cool.
The writer and the creator there. It's a fantastic book, but it's also kind of cool that, like, a local comic book shop could get something limited like this. Gwar is a band I've interviewed many a times. I've met, I've seen before. They are more of an art collective than even a band, but they're a great band in their own right, too.
Right.
Their lead singer sadly died a couple of years ago, Odorous Urungus. They've continued on without him
right.
to keep the name of Gwar alive, because it means more than just one person. But if you want to get a copy of the limited edition version, I know they have it over at Eastside Mags. I'm going to try to get Jeff, the guy from Eastside Mags, to come over and talk about it in an upcoming episode, or we'll go there. The problem is he's open till like the wee hours of the night.
Which is good for us, because when Gabe's sleeping, we can slip out.
Yeah, so we got to talk about that. But either way, again, Gwar number one, it's called Orgasmageddon. Definitely worth picking up again over at Eastside Mags in Montclair. As far as cool stuff I love, I just got this in the mail today. It is the True Romance soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure on vinyl. I'm pretty sure it might be the first time it's ever been released on vinyl. This is a movie I fell in love with after watching Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs and realizing that Quentin Tarantino had a movie he wrote before those. I believe it came out well before Pulp Fiction, possibly before Reservoir Dogs, that was a love story. And it's the most violent love story you will ever see, starring Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette and a million other famous people, Christopher Walken. The list goes on and on. It is a tremendous movie. This is a great soundtrack. Hans Zimmer is a major part of this. He is one of my favorite composers.
Oh, yeah.
I could listen to this forever. I'm so psyched to have it. I believe it's colored. I'm not quite sure because I haven't actually opened it up again yet. Great artistically drawn cover. True Romance out now on vinyl. This is what I love this week. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Hambone, before I go and sleep for the rest of the day?
You will need to sleep. Next weekend?
Yes.
Can you talk about it?
What's happening next week? Oh, we're doing...
Headhunters.
Wait, oh, Lord. Okay, you talk about it.
So, a friend of the show, George Collazo, months ago, our friend Goldfarb was like, hey, I'm going to do this Rugged Maniac in July. Now, I was pretty out of shape at the time, because I would say this was probably November last year? And George Collazo, with a few beers and a couple slices of pizza, and goes, hey, buddy, you know what you should do? Just do Rugged Maniac. You should do this. Hambone, you know what you should do? You should do this Rugged Maniac. So I signed up on the spot to do this Rugged Maniac with Goldfarb. And Goldfarb was like, hey, George, you want to do it too? And George Klaus was like, oh, buddy, I don't do that kind of stuff. And we said, George, do you want to do it? And George was like, yeah, I'll do it. Asked Dave Trainer. Dave Trainer was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then it kind of got forgotten about. So this coming up this weekend, we are going to, I want to say, Eatontown, New Jersey, to run and do an adult obstacle course. We will crawl under barbed wire,
5K.
Climb through mud.
5K.
5K. Climbing over walls, doing rope stuff. There's going to be like a zip line. I have been working out very hard for a couple months now, getting in shape for this. Goldfarb is Goldfarb. He's like chiseled from marble. George jumped in a little later on. Once Gabe was born, he was able to be like, okay, I can do this. So George is on the team as well. We are three. El Greco is, of course, Muy Guapo. We're going to go.
I'm just insane.
You are insane. We're going to do this Rugged Maniac, and we're going to try to not die because we're old.
And fat.
And our cardio kind of sucks. So we're going to see what happens. This might be the last episode you ever see of Muay Thai TV. One of us, maybe both of us, might not make it back.
No one gets left behind.
No one gets left behind, but we might not be in good shape next week. So we will get back to you on that. We're going to be covered in mud. Goldfarb, El Greco, Hulk Hambone? Nah, I don't think that works.
No.
Nah, that's a shitty gimmick. I'm still working on the gimmick.
Love Muffin. Oh, let's end this show. I want to learn about that tattoo that you won't talk about. You got all red and weird. I've been staring at it for the last 10 minutes.
Fair enough. So, where can we find you, George?
You can reach me at GLK Creative on Twitter, at GLK Creative on Instagram. You can find me at cultofgeorge.com, where I write about all this weird stuff that we talk about. And you can find me at, you can find all old episodes of Muay Thai TV, the actual TV episodes at MuayThaiTV.com.
Most of them are pretty good.
The podcasts at iTunes. Please rate, review, subscribe. We need all the love we can get, even if you don't actually love the show. It makes us feel better about ourselves. How can they find you, Hambone?
You can find me on Twitter at Hambreaker. I might tweet this month. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet. You can also find me at unwinnable.com. I, the beer holder, actually coming back with new episodes soon. We've got four more in the can. We're going to actually start recording more coming up recently. You could also find me at Gen Con if you want to walk around and look for me. I will be hanging out, wearing a Hawaiian shirt, having a cocktail, playing some games. That's coming up in August.
So we're out! Take us out, Hambone!
I'm Hambone. This is George. Aloha.
Перебиты поломаны крылья, серой болью всю душу свело, кокаина серебряной пылью, все дороги.